A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt Doyle. I played Jonathan on Gossip Girl, and we're rewatching Gone with the Will.
Welcome back, listeners, to your one and only source into all things Gossip Girl. You know you'll love it. XOXO. Welcome back to XOXO, everyone. I'm Jessica Zohr, and today we've got a really fun episode for you. There's nobody better to break down an episode of Gossip Girl than someone who sat back and watched it all unfold from inside the inner circle. In the show, that was Eric's boyfriend, Jonathan. But to us, he's actor and amazing Broadway star, Matt Doyle. Matt is here to talk about all the drama between Chuck and Uncle Jack, the chaos at brunch, and the surprise new member of the Humphrey Vanderwoodson family. I can't wait for you guys to hear this one, so let's get to it. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so well. How are you, Mr. Broadway star, beautiful human, all the things?
Oh, my God. I'm good. It's been a really wild year, 3 years. I don't even know. What have we just lived through? This is insane.
It's honestly like I can't put it into words at all. Like I think about one day when I like talk to my stepdaughter and my daughter and they're like, what happened from this time to this time? And I'm going to be like, I honestly can't put it into words because it's the wildest, weirdest thing. But I don't know. A lot of us have figured out a way to like make it work, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of the extra things. I can't believe the setup that's in front of me now. I swear I started with an iPad before the pandemic and now we've got this. So at least we get to do these things together.
Yeah, it's insane. Even probably like, and we'll get into all of it, but like reading scripts or doing Zoom auditions or doing Zoom meetings for business stuff. It's like we figured out a way to kind of do it. I miss being in person for sure for a lot of things. Yeah. But I like that we all got like, we did the grind and we're like, listen, if there's a will, there's a way and we're going to make shit happen.
Absolutely. I have not had a single in-person audition or tape or anything since this all started. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like I only self-tape now. It's so wild.
It's insane. Do you like a self-tape?
I hate a self-tape. Okay. I hate doing it. Do you have to do it with like your partner? I mean, I do. And it makes me want to die. Like, makes me want to die.
Oh my God. You know what's so funny? You know Jillian?
Yes. I love Jillian.
She's like one of my best friends. And
are you kidding me? Yeah. We did Bye Bye Birdie together when she was like 14. So
she was a little baby. But yes, her boyfriend and my fiance played together for years. So we always laugh because we would be like flying in to go to their games and hang out. And then we'd have to like go back to be on set or go back for an audition.
Yep.
And now we were in like the whole thing of like doing self-tapes. And it's funny because she's like, Jason will just like throw out an accent in the middle of the scene. And I'm like, Brad threw out three the other day. And my agent was like, why was he changing accents? I don't know. He's changing accents and also telling me this is the last time we're doing it. So I didn't have an option. Like, just try to get me the job.
That's amazing.
And you have to do it with your partner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I get to do it with my big Max Clayton, who is this like big sweetie, but he is so obnoxious when it comes to this stuff and he hates it so much. And I'm also the worst. I mean, I'm like a nightmare to do it. I get frustrated. I like throw tizzy fits and he's like, I just like, this is the worst thing in our relationship is self-tapes.
Aw. Well, it's definitely, here's my thing with them. You'll like, you have to watch it back because you want to make sure that it sounds right and the lighting looks good to send it in.
Yeah.
But now I'm looking at more than that. Now I'm like, oh, you could have like maybe did a little more, pull it back. Or like, should you be more upset? Or why did you do it anything like you just did? You know what I mean?
I know. The overanalyzing. We're not meant to watch ourselves. No, like we really aren't. It's why I never ever watch myself on anything that I do. And if I ever see video of myself, I'm like, especially in shows, I'm like, oh, that's what that looks like. Like I can't see a video of my Jamie that I just did in Company. And because it's so broad and so absurd, and I like cringe when I watch it, but apparently people liked it.
I mean, love it, and you won a Tony for it. So that's, you know what I mean? What's the irony of that?
So I feel like it's best that I don't watch myself.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about this too. But like the irony of that, like you're like, I can't watch it. I feel like this, you know, this kind of way, but yet it's like some people would say some of your best work.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like we're our worst critics.
Oh, we for sure are. I want to talk about that, but because I jumped in and got so overly excited and like,
hi,
just so many people speak so highly of you. It's been so long since I've seen you. I loved my experience with you.
Aww,
I can't wait to see you in person.
Yeah,
yes. But before I did that, this is Matt Doyle, everyone. He's a beautiful, amazing person, a wonderful actor. I'm going to get into about his Tony because that's so rad and amazing and dope and like something that we all, as an actor, you want your work to be noticed in a great light, or, you know, people feel something or get something from our work. So when it does happen for people that I know or the work I've watched of people, it's such a special, special thing. Like Sebastian Stan just getting nominated for an Emmy for Pam and Tommy, and he was on Gossip Girl with us.
Yeah.
It's just or Chase with The Boys, he got nominated for.
He's so good on it too. I love The Boys so much. Oh my God.
I'm just happy. I got all the guys from our show are just like getting nominated here and doing this. And Penn's show is like doing amazing. And it just makes me so happy. So this is Matt Doyle, everyone. And
hi, guys.
He played Jonathan Whitney on Gossip Girl, Eric's boyfriend.
I think I said, like, every time I was there, I basically just said, like, hi, Jenny, bye, Jenny. But they talked a lot about me on these episodes.
talked about a lot. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
But your storyline was a major thing, too, because no one knew. And I like now that in television, when you watch TV, we don't have to hit things on the head so much anymore. Like it used to be like you had to have like a mixed person. And thankfully, I was happy about it because I'm a mixed girl. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get this job because everyone's white in the cast. You know, networks wanted to be open to like what is going on in the world. So, you know, gay or mixed and everything like that, which I think it should be because that is life. There's all different walks and types and loves and feelings and all the things. But I will say at the time, like this Gossip Girl, you guys were the only gay characters on the show at that time. So I thought that was really special and really awesome. And that's not really why I'm like here to talk about that because I want to get into the whole thing. But your storyline was a really big deal. They all are important, but you know what I'm saying.
Look, I mean, it was something that I've been told by the showrunner multiple times that he wishes he could have done more with it. But at the time, this
was
still...
Let's all go back and just see more of Eric and Jonathan together.
I know,
then maybe
I know.
More.
I wish,
maybe you hook up with other people. Grown.
Yeah, I know, right? let's just expand it now. The thing is like what people forget, I think, all the time is that this was like pre-Glee. And I mean, it was still very, very tricky to put not just a gay character on television, but a teenage gay character on television. It wasn't being done. It was still like too risky in the eyes of a lot of network heads. And I think Gossip Girl took a really big risk, and I'm honored that I got to be a part of that risk. And it might seem small now when you watch it back and you wonder, oh, where are all the gay characters and why didn't we see more of them? But it was still a huge step to have Eric be gay and to see his boyfriends in a small sense.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. When you're saying like going back and look, I still feel like it was a big part of it. And I like that it was you and Connor. Cause I just, he's so amazing. He had great things to say about
you. Such a sweet guy.
Right?
Such a sweet guy. Yeah. It was so nice to show up to work and just like, I got to spend the most time with him and Taylor, obviously. And he was just always so inviting and, you know, wanted to catch up on what I was doing at the time because I'm a theater guy, guys. I do a lot of Broadway shows, but not a lot of television. And he was just very interested and respectful. And I never felt out of place there at all.
Oh my gosh. I love that. It's always like very nice when you get to work with the people that are there more than you are, or a lot of the time, and they're just like very open and lovely and warm, because I've been on sets where you don't have that and I'm like, oh, this is a little bit awkward, but like...
Oh, yeah. As someone who does guest stars pretty much only because I do theater, that is like just the norm is that people are typically like, yeah, let's just get through the day. But everyone was really, really lovely and open on the set of Gossip Girl. The first time I met Chase, he like pulled me to his dressing room and was like, we can hang out, man. You know, like,
yeah,
I was
so
like,
nice.
Yeah, I was really, really surprised. Everybody wanted me to come back with these like horror stories about the Gossip Girl kids. And I was like, they were really nice. I don't know.
They're like, who was the worst? You're like, no.
Yeah. No, it really wasn't like that.
Yeah. Okay. But you just brought it up. So you're a Broadway star.
Yeah.
And you would know him, everyone, if while listening. Book of Mormon, Spring Awakening, Bye Bye Birdie, In Company. I mean, let's just talk about, I'm not going to make it super awkward and be like, what was your favorite? Who was the best? But those are all really amazing. First of all, amazing shows, amazing casts. Like, oh my gosh, that's just insane. But tell me about the Tony situation. Like, when did you find out? Was there a moment when you were on stage where you like, this feels different?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's like a huge thing for anyone in their career. I mean, it's just so fucking awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. It's been a long journey. You know, I started when I was 19 years old, and that was with Spring Awakening, and I was doing Gossip Girl during that time.
Which, by the way, Spring Awakening is like, I had so many friends in that who also then came to LA and did Glee, like Jenna.
Yes, and Leah, Leah and Jonathan. And,
oh my God, yeah. So many.
It was a stacked cast and all of them. And that was another thing is I was young and I was watching all of my friends get all of this television work. And I just kept staying in the theater world and pushed through that because I always wanted that to pay off before anything else. So I never really moved to LA. I never did all of that because I was leading up to this big moment. And finally at 32, I was cast in this part and we were 9 previews into the run of our show before we opened it and the pandemic hit. So we went through 18 months of waiting for this show to come back and waiting to go back to work and wondering if we would, wondering if Sondheim would stay alive, the composer of this musical company. And then we finally did come back with this unbelievable cast. And I just closed the show yesterday, but it was 8 just blissful months of making it happen and bringing it back. And we went through so much. We lost Sondheim during that. We won 5 Tonys. We were nominated for 9. And yes, it was definitely life-changing for me too. I won a Tony for this role. And I think for me, just that feeling is... I feel this immense satisfaction because I have worked really hard for this moment, and so much trauma went into this production in particular that when I got up there and was standing there, it felt like the best payoff in the world. For the first time, I didn't have that imposter syndrome. You know, I really did feel like, no, I worked really hard for this, and I waited 18 months for the show to come back, and I worked my butt off, and it was wonderful. And this community is so tight-knit and so strong, the theater community in New York, that I felt so supported too.
Yeah. Oh God, that's so rad.
Thank you.
How is an audition for a show like that, or a Broadway show? How does it shift when, like, what did you have to do for a Broadway show audition to coming in and auditioning for Jonathan?
Oh my gosh, so different.
Like, I'm only saying, I've never done Broadway. So for me and everyone listening, like, can you kind of just give us a breakdown of what the two things are? Like, you're going in for Jonathan, and you can pick whatever character on in those plays that you,
So for example, my first Broadway show, Spring Awakening, I had 7 callbacks and had to prepare probably about 40 pages of material. And you just keep going back in. So that's insane, right? And that was just for a swing, which is an understudy, essentially.
If you go 6 times learning 40 pages and you don't get it, that you're okay, bye.
You could still go in one more time and book the role.
Or not. Someone else that did it that many times and did it.
Yep,
that's crazy.
Exactly. You just meet that many producers and that many people, and they're shifting ideas so much, and they want to keep bringing you in. And then for company, I was brought in for the role of my husband in the show, Paul. Mm-hmm. And at the last minute and during my audition, and at that point, you know, I was known enough for them to just keep the process a little shorter, but I didn't know it would be this short. They told me in the room to learn the song that I had to perform as Jamie the next day. So I went home, learned it that night.
I'm like stressed out right now.
Learned about like 5 pages of a scene that I did every night and the song, and went back in the next day and just had to be ready to go. And I had to be as off book as possible. And then with Jonathan, I think it was about 3 lines that I might have been learning as I walked into the room. And, you know, remember back in the day when they had the little Sony cam that went like, doo-doo, and they recorded you.
Sure.
And, and I did like 1 take, and I think I even screwed up like the 3-word line that I had, but they look for something so different with TV, especially with CW. They just want the essence of the character, and they talk to you a little bit in the room, and they ask you questions about your day because they want to hear your voice, and especially for a project like this. And I waited, and all of a sudden I heard that the network needed to approve me because it was most likely going to become a recurring character. And then I was on set like a week later. It was crazy.
That is wild.
Very different process.
Wow. Well, you have me having like all the feels. I'm like, I want to go see every Broadway show now.
I know. I get to now. I'm so excited. I'm going to see Into the Woods tomorrow night, and I'm going to go back to Strange Loop this week. I'm so excited to go see theater now that I'm not doing it every night.
Yeah. And when you go, can you watch like just for entertainment, or are you like, okay, I know what this feels like and I know that, or it just depends? Like some plays will take you there somewhat.
Some will take me there and some won't. When you know the tricks of the trade, sometimes it's hard to separate yourself from it. And I am thinking like, oh, I wonder who's their dresser is, or I wonder what the backstage atmosphere is like, or, you know, all the weird things that you should not. Yes, exactly. I wonder how hard 2-show day is for them. You know, just strange thoughts go through your head that a normal audience member does not have.
Right.
But if the show is fantastic, then yes, it's like being a kid again.
Right. Yeah. There's like, I feel like when I watch TV sometimes, and it's like a scene, even if it's a cell phone scene, sometimes if it's not saying it's an amazing show, but all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, that AD has done a really long scene on the phone with this actor. You know what I mean?
It's so true. I was watching this episode of Gossip Girl today to just like catch up on it and rewatch it. And I was, so there were like 3 moments of ADR that I was like, whoa. That was obvious.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can tell that too sometimes. And it's funny because if I sit with, you know, Brad or, you know, one of my sisters or something, I'm like, wow, that was ADR. They're like, what? What's that?
Yeah,
like, I think it's just, we know. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Actually, someone just sent me like a DM and there was like an extra in the background of a Gossip Girl. She must have left her shoe or it fell. So she's like standing on her tiptoes to be the same level as her heel, but she doesn't have a shoe on. And I'm going to send it to you when we get off. It's hilarious.
Oh, but there's nothing better than background people. No. I love them so much.
Oh my God, me too.
So much. Especially because as Jonathan, most of the time I was hanging out with them. You know, right. When you're a guest star on that level and you're not with the rest of the cast, you're like, you want to get to know these people that are surrounding you in the big party scenes. And some of them are just delightful. But I think what's so wonderfully endearing about that shoe and the heel is that girl knew that whoever was directing her that day was stressed out of her mind because background direction is so stressful.
And you know what? She was like,
you know what? I'm going to make it work.
That is right. You go, girl. That's true because they're probably yelling action. And she's like, oh my God.
She's like, I don't have
my shoe.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode, Gone with the Will, is based on the movie Gone with the Wind, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely.
And Matt's going to, you know, kind of break it down, or, you know, we're just going to like talk about us rewatching it. So here's where we left off. After being MIA, Chuck was brought back to New York by his uncle Jack, who Blair is suspicious of. Rufus has been searching for the child Lily gave up for adoption while Serena and Dan picked back up after Serena dumped Aaron.
Blair which is everything. They have a sibling.
I mean, what?
I mean, they have a sibling. A half sibling.
Blair rejected the Colony Club. Jenny was scammed by Nelly Yuki, and Chuck threatened to leave forever. So that's where we're like coming from. And here's what our episode is what's going to go down. With the reading of Bart Bass's will, Chuck, Jack, and Blair learn the fate of the Bass Empire. Meanwhile, Rufus and Lily's relationship becomes strained as Rufus seeks details about the child he never knew he had. Noticing that his father is acting strange, Dan does some investigating of his own and becomes unsure of what to do with his findings. That's all happening. And then here we are. Blair, Nate are with Chuck, supporting him while he's going to hear his father's will's reading. And Jack is here as well. So this is a lot. And this is also Jack, Uncle Jack's first episode, which is like, I forgot. I always loved Desmond as an actor and he was just always great on set. But I never, he's like kind of nasty in this show. Like Uncle Jack is like.
And here's my thing with it. As much as I, of course, we all support Chuck, should a 17-year-old be running this company?
I mean, should he? Exactly.
I was always like, I was just rewatching this episode and I was like, God, I hated Jack so much. I remember back in the day and now I watch it and I'm like, you know, he's not wrong.
But yeah, he's like, what are you doing? But they're here for this reading, which also at the same time, like I feel like Chuck's lost his dad, who he already had like this interesting relationship with. Right. And then he's like about to inherit $1 billion. You know what I mean? Like even if it's like he gets a certain amount at 18, like you're 17, you're getting it in 1 year. Like I can't even wrap around my, like my head around the emotions and all the things of being that age and like figuring out my, you know, am I going to college? Am I going to go do this? Am I doing that? Right. Oh, I'm also going to inherit $1 billion and gain and a bunch of like fake friends and lose, it's, you know.
And just start that now and then never have my, you know, college life or anything because what am I working towards? Because I just have it already.
Yeah, because I can just buy it. Yep. I can just do whatever. So basically in the will reading, we find out that he's about to inherit $1 billion. Yep. According to the will, Jack has been named as Chuck's legal guardian. Okay. I remember that being so jaw-dropping because I'm like, oh, here we go. He's going to freaking mess this whole thing up now.
Right.
And it says that Bart's assets will be put in a trust for Chuck on his 18th birthday. And a 20% stake is left for Lily.
Just 20. Thanks for everything you did.
Thank you for everything. But the letter that Bart left for Chuck, also saying that he has 51% share in the company, I remember when he left that letter and Blair's like, he like trusted you with this. I don't know if those were the exact words, but I remember feeling like that's a big thing to take in because Chuck always felt like his dad didn't trust him
and didn't like him and felt like he was a failure. And here he was giving him the company.
Yeah. And like wanting him to have it. So that was like a big moment for me. And I'm like, but how do you now? I don't know. I just feel like Chuck always has a lot on his plate.
Yes. I know. That's why he's brooding the whole time. There's a lot going on in there.
There is. And meanwhile, like, even though you're about to take over this company or can and have this money, like, he's still so heartbroken as he should. His dad passed, like, died. But, like, he's, like, so lost. even being like, here, you have this money that can take care of most things for you. He's still like lost.
Yeah.
Which is, it says something, money can't buy everything. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And I've like been like, you know, when you're like, here's the thing with these kids, because everything's so at their fingertips on the show. I come from such a different upbringing where we didn't have
right.
that. Like,
right.
you know what I mean? At all, like so far from it. So when I saw a kid driving like a really nice car when I moved to LA, I'm like, wow.
How?
That's crazy. Yeah. How are you doing that?
Yeah. My family kind of had a similar transition, but I experienced that in high school because we moved to like a more affluent neighborhood when I was like 13. And for the first time I was looking around and we were no longer in this like blue collar area. It was like kids driving BMWs. And I was like, what is happening? Why would you let your child have that car?
Yeah. Like, what? And like getting your first car is like a big deal, right?
The biggest deal. But like, mine was a hand-me-down like Volvo 240 that was like 20 years old and still was awesome. Not a new BMW.
Fucking Range Rover, like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mine was, it was, you just got a car. If my friends and I just got a car, it didn't even matter if it was like.
And Chuck just got car service.
Yeah, this is true. He's
Chuck
like, I just
got
have a limo.
Limo everywhere.
Oh my God, too funny. Okay, so then we bounce over to Dan, who's hiding something. And you know what? I feel like Dan's always put in these situations where he's like hiding something, but he's like really trying not to. Like,
yes.
I'm finding that when I'm in these rewatches. I don't remember yes. this when we filmed, but every single time he has like a secret or does something, he's like, I don't want to, and it's not the right thing. And he right. ends up getting screwed over, even though he's like really not trying to like hold the secret, which I also find funny because he ended up being Gossip Girl. So I'm like, you actually put everyone on blast.
I know. Sometimes when I watch, especially when I watch these episodes, the early ones, especially, I'm like, really? Because he'll like, everyone's on blast and he's like, what? No.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
But so here is like, he's at a point where like, he's like, I don't want to lie to my girlfriend. And he's like trying to talk to Rufus about telling, you know, Lily to tell Serena.
Right.
But in this situation, like, no one's really, like, I understand where Dan's coming from, but I also feel like it really is her mom's place to tell. But at the same time, they both have a sibling and they're kind of dating and their parents are looking for this, like, love child.
Yeah.
So it puts everyone in an awkward spot because it's an awkward situation. But I mean, like, what do you do there? Like, if you're
I was on Dan's side in this, because that was a really tough, weird situation. And it's certainly not a conversation that I would want to have with my girlfriend, especially if she needed to have that conversation with her parent. Like, that's like the parent's responsibility. So I was kind of watching this and I got the dilemma. I wasn't like, just tell her, you know, as sometimes right. we are with Dan. I understood that this one was really tricky.
I mean, it definitely was tricky because it's something, it's a big thing to tell. It's a big right. thing to not tell.
It changes her whole perspective on family and life as well.
On family and dating Dan and whether their parents are going to, like, there's like so many oh angles God. Here that like are very weird if they continue or weird if
right.
they don't. Like,
right.
yeah, it's just like a weird thing. But
could you date someone if they, if you shared a sibling?
I just don't think I could.
Yeah.
I just don't,
I don't think, so.
Think I could. I think that draws the line. And these two have go back and forth so much with their relationship of like, should we right. do it? Should we not? We are, we aren't. Well, here is a thing where, you know, it's, we're done now, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. This, that felt
think
like
we
that
wrap
for me
it
too.
Up.
Yeah.
But I feel like at around this time, maybe there was a moment where everyone thought your character was Gossip Girl. And I don't know if it was this episode or around.
There was also literally an episode where I was accused of being Gossip Girl. And I got one of those like cut to commercial break zoom ins on my face as everyone, I think Chuck walked up to me and said I was Gossip Girl. I heard it a lot from people who are watching the series even after that, thinking, oh no, that was just laying the groundwork. It is Jonathan. They're going to keep bringing Jonathan back and Jonathan's going to be Gossip Girl. And I was like, yes, thank you. I would love that. I was like, that would be amazing. But but no, I think I was always there to be the sweet kind of like angel on Eric's shoulder to whatever whatever darkness he was going through. So I unfortunately never got to be Gossip Girl.
No, but I do remember it was like people were writing about it, and then like all of us were thinking things, and friends were calling me from like back home. They're like, is it him? I'm like, we literally don't know. Like, and we didn't find out. Like, I came back for the finale and found out that week.
Incredible.
It was insane. Anyway, so you did not end up being Gossip Girl, as we know, but I do remember there was just a lot around that.
I know. I wish. I would have been. I would have loved that. Oh, yeah.
You're like, I would have been perfect. Okay, so now in the episode, Chuck takes Bass Industries.
Right.
And Chuck goes into Jack's office and tells him he's decided to follow his father's wishes and take over Bass Industries. Jack says they can discuss that when he turns 18, but Chuck wants to start right now. And Jack tells him he's not ready, but Chuck says he'll find a place for Jack in the company and he's ready now. And Jack walks out on this and we're here. I kind of feel like even though Jack could have be in a place where like he has ulterior motives and wants the company and all this, it's what you said before. He's not ready to do this. Like he's not in a mental space for life right now in general, let alone to take on a company and all the things that come with that. There's like people's families and insurance and showing up to work. And
he is going through a lot of emotional stuff. He was standing on the edge of a rooftop recently. And so I just don't think it's the best time to take on, you know, this major, major, major corporation and be leading it while you're still in high school. But I did appreciate, you know, the will there, you know, for a second that he was going to just jump into it.
I mean...
yeah. Grieve your father first.
Right. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, the moments in this show, like, it's not just like you've lost your father and you have to just get through this. It's like, you've lost your father and a company's like at your fingertips. And now your father's wife is looking for a love child with Dan Humphrey, who you can't stand.
Who you hate.
who's also kind of dating your kind of stepsister.
Yeah. Ish.
In a way.
Yep.
So there's just a lot going on there. And this whole thing that happens when, spying on Dan, Blair and Serena are talking about Chuck when Blair gets the Gossip Girl blast. And Gossip Girl's looking for evidence that Dan is cheating on Serena, which the Gossip Girl blasts are so wild to me because I'm like, where are they getting this from? But everyone was like so eager to put people on blast that it was like kind of like nasty sometimes. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I feel like Nelly really wanted to like prove herself with the gang. So this was an epic success with with proving that. And she earned like blast cred.
She did. But I was like, I forgot this happened. And I remember us filming at Dylan's Candy.
Got so much candy.
We did.
We got so much candy because we were filming just down the street. That was like the only line that I had on this episode, but we were there and that's where I met you. I met you on this episode because I met you in the hair and makeup room, walked in and you were like absurdly lovely and friendly and outgoing. And I was like, oh, thank God, she's nice. Uh-huh. You know, as we all do.
I was just pumped to meet you because everyone had spoke so highly of you. And
oh, that's so sweet.
Pleased to have you.
And then we just got like, they just gave us all of Dylan's to just like pick.
Like, eat it all.
Yeah. Yeah. They just were like, gave us bags and they were like, go for it. So I brought like several bags of candy back to Spring Awakening that night and was like, here, guys. I was the cool kid that night.
Yeah. But how about Nelly Yuki coming in and just taking Dan's
just
phone?
Just taking his phone. What? She literally was like, oh, he put it in his pocket. Great. I'm going to just go grab it.
I'm just taking it. Yep.
Literally pick it out of his pocket.
Which, by the way, it's stuff like that. Now when I look back, I'm like, you could get really seriously in trouble. Like, we didn't have Find Your iPhone then. Like at that point, like Dan just didn't know he was missing his phone.
Yeah. I was just doing an episode on the new Gossip Girl, and I was talking to the kids, and they were like, wait, so how did they look at Gossip Girl on that? I'm like, well, we had cell phones. And they were like, right. I said, but we had like flip phones. And they were like, no. Like, they were shocked. I was like, I think the iPhone had just come out, maybe wasn't out yet. And they were like, no.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh my God.
Fully like a Motorola Razr. Like, that's what
everyone had.
Yeah, we played Snake.
But it's also got to be like so interesting too, because it's a different.
So different.
I know. And when I say that, we obviously know it's a new cast and it's a different kind of Gossip Girl situation. But like, I find that it's just, I haven't watched it yet. I said, I'm going to finish this podcast and go back.
It's totally so different. Yeah. It's a very different set to come onto. But what I will say is like, the thing that I noticed that was the same with our group back in the day was it was like the loveliest group of kids. And everyone is just so kind, down to earth, wanted to like, you know, followed me that day on Instagram. I was like, well, thanks, guys.
Cuties. You know?
The best thing said to me, though, was one of the youngins said, oh, you were on the original? Oh, you should have come back and like played like a dad.
Oh, my God. You're like, slow down.
I was like, I mean, sure, but also, oh my God.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. But what I mean, and this is why I can't wait to go, and now I like love that you're going to be on it and like all the things, but I'm interested to see how they're, because we did it without blogs and without iPhones or without these smartphones. So I'm very interested to see how they're...
Without video, without images, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every now and then they tried to do like an image coming through the phone, but it was like when they had to load on your like laser.
It was taking an hour to load. Oh my God. That is hilarious. Well, I'm very pumped and excited about all of that.
It's just a little cameo. Nothing has ever been more of a cameo than this cameo.
Well, I love it. And everyone will. People are going to be super pumped because it like ties, you know, certain things to the original. And that's rad. And people loved you so much. I'm like,
oh, that's so sweet.
For sure. And then speaking of the original with Vanessa, who always is trying to do the right thing and then just gets like... It always backfires on her.
I know. You were so nice in this scene. You were trying to protect Dan, and then Serena's like annoyed at you because she thinks you're lying, and it's not fair.
It's just not. And here's the thing. So Vanessa's at the gallery, and Serena shows up, and she's kind of trying to snoop around to find out like what's going on with Dan.
Right.
And she knows something's up, and Vanessa covers for him as like, I feel like that's the right thing to do for your friend.
Yeah, especially because she knows that Dan's going to talk to her when he's ready. And
for sure.
You trust Dan.
Yeah, and Vanessa knows that Dan will always do the right things. And so she covers for him and then immediately texts Dan and says, you know, when are Lily and Rufus back? You know, S needs to know about their child.
Right.
And obviously Dan doesn't have the phone. Nellie has it. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Vanessa just gets it, backfires on her again. So yep. I'm like, man. But and that just becomes like such a thing because it was just like you text one thing to try to be a good person. And then the whole thing, just these people are just always trying to put people on blast. And
right. And your character had such a tough position because you were always friends with Dan, but you also had to like somehow make girlfriends and somehow be like safe with the girl gang. And then I felt like you were kind of always between the guys and the girls, you know?
For sure. And there was like a moment in time where Vanessa like had really strong feelings for Dan. So she had to somehow figure out how to like navigate that situation of
right.
being able to be friends.
Talking to his girlfriend.
Oh my God. Okay, so now we're waiting for the call. While they're at their hotel, Rufus and Lily get a call from a lawyer who says that their child's adoptive parents don't want to meet them and don't want them to contact them ever. Lily says she'll call for their car, but Rufus won't leave. He wants to write the family a letter in hopes that they'll change their mind. And Lily says... She doesn't want to stay trapped in this hotel room for any longer.
And then she's still in love with him.
She loves him. Aww.
Wait, can I just talk about, this was my favorite love story, the whole series. Like, I had this weird fascination and fixation with Lily and Rufus. I was like, they were meant to be together.
Right. And because they had, they're like little, like.
History. It's so much history.
But then it would get messy because then she like got married and then their kids are dating and then.
And then their kids are dating. Like that was always the weird part.
Yeah. But then I know what you mean though, because there'd be times where I'm like, oh, but they're perfect.
I know. And they were so good. I loved them both.
Yeah. Yes. Oh. So she tells him that she's still in love with him. Rufus grabs her. They kiss. They sleep together. Then Rufus gets a call. I know. I'm like, what is going to. Because at this point, they're both like, they're all dating. Like,
yeah,
they're dating
everyone's
and their
dating
kids are
each
dating.
Other. Everyone's dating with, like, everyone's sleeping with each other.
Everyone's sleeping.
It's getting really weird.
Yes. And Rufus gets a call, and the adoptive father agrees to see them after all. I having a baby now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, you get a call, especially for Rufus, because he didn't know. He, like, didn't know there was a child that was his. So to get a call that, like, there's potential that you can meet this child of yours is like a big, big deal.
I can't even imagine. I mean, if I found out that there was anything like that out in the world, I would be so anxious to meet that child.
Yeah. And it's like, there's just so many things that for Rufus, like he sees his son and he's like, I didn't know you existed. I may have tried to like, I would have raised you like I'm raising my two kids by myself. Also the child, like, why didn't my parents, you know, come to find me? But I love the parents I have now. There's just so many things. Then the parents that adopted him, I could see maybe why they don't want the parents who, it's a very loaded, loaded moment, I feel like.
Yeah, I'd feel bad robbing the child of that, but I completely understand their perspective as well.
100%.
Like, that's not fair to us. I mean, that's what we agreed to. This isn't okay, you know.
Yeah, and maybe maybe also for the son, because it maybe adds all these things where, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's right or wrong. There's just a lot.
I need to talk to someone who's gone through this
because
I know there's a lot of kids out there that have that later on in life when they hit 18, they start themselves asking questions and that's when they're able to usually seek out who their parents are. And I mean, what a strange journey that must be.
Totally.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Definitely moved to like the Bass situation, which is also like Lily's involved in too. So I'm like, how is Lily handling all of this? She's like in Boston, but yet
and
like
she's like just 20%. Like, by the way, just the 17-year-old asshole that you can't stand is getting the company. You're getting 20%.
Oh my God. And she's like, but I'm in Boston trying to find my other son. Yeah. Now I have 19 sons. Oh, my God.
It's perfect.
It is perfect. But at this brunch, Jack shows up without Chuck and says that Chuck is in his office, though probably not getting much work done after the night they had. Blair and the Bass Industries board go up to Chuck's office and see Chuck doing drugs with undress escorts.
Yeah.
The board is disgusted and tells him they don't know what Bart was thinking by putting him in charge. Blair's horrified, and Chuck says he doesn't need her help and to just stop playing wife. Okay.
Yep.
Blair has, like, stepped up to the plate a lot lately, what I've been watching.
Absolutely. Yeah.
To, like, really try to, like, help him through this. But everyone kind of does different things when they lose someone. I don't, you know?
It's trying to almost like rush him to the next phase that he's not ready for in so many different ways. But like, she was playing wife in this episode. You know, she was trying to make everything perfect and everything's going to be fine. And if we just pretend like everything's perfect and put on a perfect brunch, then it will all be okay. But he's not there yet at all.
He's just not. And I've like, you feel for both of them. Like I look at her, right, and I'm like, wow, you just care about him so much and you're being such a big person and
yeah,
so loving. And then I'm also like, oh God, it's so hard to watch someone you love go through something like that because it's like, what can you do? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. But I give Blair a lot of credit because there's a lot to like try to get through with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we have Jenny and Eric are fighting and Dan is at the brunch when the gossip
fighting about me.
Yeah, they sure are. Because what you're like, you guys are talking about a movie, right? That you're going to see or something in the beginning,
yes,
of this.
And Eric is like, I just need one freaking night alone with Jonathan.
And Jenny's always like trying to
Jenny's always there because Jenny doesn't have any friends right now. And she's really just trying to hang out with some people that she loves. And we're just trying to date each other.
Trying to have our own thing for 1 minute.
Yes. And I loved this because it was just like every time that I showed up on set, it was Connor and Taylor. That was my whole experience on Gossip Girl. So I was like, aw, this episode in a way is really just about
how it was going.
Jonathan and Eric. It was always the three of us.
Totally. Oh my gosh. But I also feel like there's like a part of Eric, and it probably is like why at this point he's like, okay, enough's enough. Loved your relationship with Jenny because that's his other really good friend. And
so
you know,
sweet.
And
it's
maybe,
sweet that we love
maybe
each
sister
other.
Soon.
Right. And maybe family member. But I side with Eric on this big time, I have to say. I mean, I understand, but Jenny's got to make a little extra effort to, you know, maybe socialize with some other people outside of their relationship.
Yeah. You're like, Jenny, just get a hint.
Jenny, get a freaking hint. We want to kiss each other, which we never did on the show.
I know. I was just going to ask you about that. Like, I can't believe that never happened.
Never happened. We didn't have a gay kiss on the show, but it's okay. It's okay. We've progressed since those years. But yeah, we were never alone. That's the reason why.
That's
we
why.
Never could.
Someone was always there. Oh, man. So they're fighting.
Yes.
And Dan is at the brunch when the blast goes out from the minions. So it's real news about Rufus and Lily's love child. And Serena is just like sitting here begging Dan, like, can you just tell me if it's true or not? And again, like we talked about this, like I can see where they're coming from. And I can also understand where Serena's coming from. Like, just tell me, like, do I have a sibling or not? Like, at one point, I'm going to find out. I just need to know now because she's probably like her head's got to be spinning of like, this will have something to do with you and me. It also has something to do like, if we're not 18 years old, Matt, and we find out we have a sibling, like a real blood sibling.
I would lose my mind. I would
lose my mind.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's not even about like dating the person in front of you. Like, I have a sibling.
Right. Like, that's the last thing I want to talk about right now or worry about right now. I really just have to think about that I have a blood relative. Like, we'll deal with us later.
Yeah.
Which isn't looking good.
No, exactly.
Not if we have a half sibling together. Yeah. Pretty weird.
It was, So I understand all of that, but. And then on top of it, Jenny and Eric get the blast. You know what I mean? Like everyone's now they're like, wait, what does this all mean?
Now Jenny and Eric, who have just decided that they're not going to hang out so much, are like, oh, wait, we might share
be together
sibling.
Every day. We might live together every holiday.
Great.
I actually never looked at it like that, but that's completely true.
I know. Like, if they did get together, they would have, like, all become a family. And then what? Just Serena and Dan are just, like, sharing a room? Like,
I mean, right? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was problematic.
It's very problematic. And then here is the other thing that gets problematic, which when this happened, I was like, oh, my gosh. So Chuck confronts Jack after everyone leaves the brunch, which... he had to at some point, but again, this is just another thing on Chuck's plate, I feel like.
Yeah, just knowing that now his uncle is trying to take him down.
Like how could you do
this? And very obviously,
Yes, that's the thing. Jack's like not even trying to be like
subtle about it. He's just trying to like reveal. And that's the thing is like, as much as I want to hate Jack because it's a really slimy thing that he did, in a weird way, he kind of just was like, you know what? I'm just going to reveal what a mess you still are. And you shouldn't be taking over this company.
Right. Yeah. And Chuck basically says that the company isn't Jack's to take, but Chuck's the legal guardian. If Chuck behaves inappropriately, he can say that he can't take it.
Right.
And the board has already given Jack their blessing. And I understand that. I actually know someone that was going to go into a lot of money, but their parents basically like said if something happened, we're like, we give someone, you know, the authority to kind of look at your situation in your life. Like if you're dating someone we don't think is okay to give. And I like was like, whoa, that's wild. But like, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is like not, I know this seems crazy, but this is a real thing when you're dealing with like this amount. Like my friend was not going into $1 billion, but it was like, you know. So, and here's the thing. as a dad and running a huge company, you have to have those kind of like,
right,
I don't
absolutely
know.
I would never, if I had worked my entire life to build this empire,
but also
and
for
I
Chuck's
was
sake
taking
too,
that
though.
Risk. Yeah, for
like
his
if
sake
Chuck
as
is
well.
In this a mess like this now, and then he gets handed this, like that it could get real bad.
Money can only do damage, exactly. Right. And so he's protecting not just his company, but his son as well in doing that, so that his son doesn't do something really awful with this money. And so I totally understand those clauses. And I think it's awesome that your friend's parents did that too. It's like, no, we want to protect that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is all coming from a place of making sure things are happening the right way. You're not just like, okay, you're a mess and here's $1 billion so you can go get more drunk and do more drugs and sleep with more escorts. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Just yeah. More expensive escorts now.
It's true.
Top of the class.
But it's like insane because he's when they did that and they opened the door, I'm like, oh man, poor Chuck. I just keep being like, poor Chuck.
And that's when I was like, this season two especially, because I remember season two just like really going for it. I'm like, oh, we're really just like basically saying that he just did blow and slept with two prostitutes. And like, I'm like, that Gossip Girl like really just went there. And I was like, God, I love this show.
They're like, we are going to make you keep watching.
Yep.
And then this.
Right.
Oh, okay. When.
So yeah. This guy who's right? wearing his like cable knit sweater and comes in and drinks like a little like cup of tea with them. I'm like, why are we in Ireland all of a sudden?
Ireland
like,
is what so is correct. Going on? Oh my God. This is the adopted father of Rufus and Lily's. I keep saying love child.
Yes. It was so weird. I felt like we were in this like little seaside village all of a sudden. And this man like just drinking some tea and talking about his son dying in a boating accident. I was like,
what?
Was he a fisherman? Like,
no, you couldn't be more correct because it did feel very, it felt that the sweater, the thing, like.
Felt very BritBox.
Oh my God. 100%. And yes, he hands them the news article. Saying that he had passed away.
Yeah.
And
we're sad and we're watching them take this in that they're like,
yeah.
And God, especially Lily, something that she gave birth to is like no longer on this earth, that she's always thought maybe one day I'll reconnect with this person and, or at least knowing that he's out there okay is what matters. And then, oh no, he's not. he drowned in an Irish sea.
I mean, like the worst, like that's horrible. And also like, you come to terms with you're like, okay, something that I gave up and decided not to go and check on or respect the fact that they didn't want me to. Remember, it was the whole thing. Like Rufus had to go to Lily to be able to go to the parents or however it went. Like that is how it went down. So then to wrap your head around to go sit down and potentially meet, like think about that. Like that's right. Crazy. Like you're sitting down with someone and you're thinking he may say, you can come meet him tomorrow. And he tells you,
oh,
nope,
God.
He died.
Ugh,
what?
It's awful.
It's devastating.
So he's no longer with us.
Yes, and everyone could go
have to
keep dating.
That.
Everyone keep dating.
Yeah, that is what it almost felt like in the episode too, is that there is this like sense of relief of like, oh, we can all keep dating each other. Don't worry.
Totally. Oh my God. And then.
This breakup.
How do you feel about Chuck and Blair though? You fight for them, right?
I fight so hard for them. Are you kidding me? I fought so hard every single time I watched it.
I know.
And especially because I think my love for Leighton has no bounds and her delivery of Blair, which was always
phenomenal.
Just so phenomenal. I mean, the way she delivers lines sometimes, I'm just like, how are you? You little, like, wonderful freak. I'm so obsessed with her. I'm so obsessed with her.
She's so good.
And she could then break your heart. And this was like the scene where I was just watching her again today. And I'm like, you knew exactly what you were doing and you did it so well. God, you're so heartbreaking and sincere. And they were so wonderful together. So I remember getting mad and yelling at the TV when this happened first time I watched it.
Oh my God, with the peonies? He just shows up with peonies and saying he's sorry and he screwed up.
Throws them back right as the elevator door's closing. Remember those set elevator doors and they would always be like closing them on us?
And if you had to like time right.
Yes, you always had to time it right. So you're like prepping your line and you hear action and then you're like, oh crap, that was terrible. No one walks out of an elevator like that.
But that's the thing that like, it's so funny. That's why I love doing this podcast because like you understand that.
Oh yeah,
like,
I loved that.
Or when it would get
so
like
much.
Jammed. And
yes,
like, oh,
the door would get jammed all the time. Yes, I was running through my like two lines that I should have memorized. Why am I memorizing it now as
oh
I'm
God.
Waiting for the elevator door to open, looking at my sides? Yeah. Oh.
Oh my God, is that funny? But she, yeah, so they're there and all she wanted to do was be there for him. But he made wife sound like the ugliest word
in the world.
But
also, babe, you're 17.
I know, but at that time, you feel like it's your whole.
I know. It's your whole world.
You don't know.
It's your whole world. I know. I mean, I guess that's something that's changed for me now that I'm 35 watching the show again. I'm like, you're just a kid.
Yes, there's so much ahead of you. But she says, I believed in you. Your father believed in you. You're the only one who didn't.
And I love that line. I love
that. Oh my
that
God.
Line.
I just kind of got goosebumps right now. Like that's.
I know. And that's exactly what it is. That's why he went out drinking and, you know, did blow with whores. Like, I mean, he was just trying to numb. Yep.
Okay. So there's that happening. And I'm like, anytime that happens, I get like, I'm like emotional because I'm like, I don't ever want them not to be together.
And that's what keeps you watching because immediately I'm like, show me the next episode. Are they
okay? I know right now. Are they back together? And the fact that she's not like, here's the funny thing because I agree with you. Like you're 17. There's so much ahead of you. But there's something too, like most 17-year-olds, well, don't live these lives. So let me check myself and restart that statement. But many 17-year-olds, if you walked into someone that you loved and they got drugs in front of them and escorts in front of them, I feel like she shows the hurt and you see she's hurt, but she's not like yelling or screaming or freaking out about that. I'm like, most people would be like, you get out of here. I'm clearing this out. You know, like she's like kind of letting him breathe in that for a moment, but also like trying to be like, hey, I'm here. We're here. We can do this. And that's where I'm like, you're also wise beyond your years, but then you're like going and doing some crazy shit on Gossip Girl that like like only a 17-year-old could do as well. So it's like, but that's the fun about Blair. What's the fun about the show is they freaking throw all this at you and you're like, wait, that was like completely.
I think that's why the characters were so fascinating and so well-balanced is they felt out of touch to a lot of kids that, you know, might be going to a normal high school because you don't have a life like that. You don't have access to the things that these kids had access to. But then at the same time, they were just relatable teenagers going through like just teenage drama.
Totally.
Yeah.
The hurt and the love and experiencing this and trying that. Yeah, that's... They did real life things and emotions that I think most go through and put it in a glamorous life that most don't. So you kind of were like, ooh, this is like fabulous and wonderful. But I also had my heart break so I can kind of understand going through that.
I can understand them on a human level even though they're so absurd in so many ways
like
to
absurd.
Me. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Which this goes into that, all of that.
It goes like, into this next part. When your girlfriend becomes your sister. Your sister.
So Eric goes to confront Serena in her room and Serena isn't sure if she can share a sibling with her boyfriend, which of course.
Sure.
And Eric tells her not to push anything away with Dan right now. And Jenny and Dan are at the loft when Eric and Serena go over there.
Yeah.
They're there for each other. And Dan asks Serena what this means for them. And Serena says they'll figure it out because she wants to be with him no matter what.
Right.
Jenny makes them all PB&Js.
Just a simple, simple offer of PB&J.
This is just what we're going to do as a family.
And it's sweet. And I remember being like, aw, I love them all together. And then you're like, oh, wait, but two of them are sleeping with each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, again, it's like, I like that Eric's telling Serena to, you know, maybe not push anything, you know, away right now, but I'm also just like, I don't know. Then what? You have stronger feelings and then...
I think maybe Serena needs to just like have some space. Yeah.
It's just like, everyone needs a moment.
Yeah. I think she has every right to. Yeah, I think she was like sitting by her bed in her room alone. I'm like, she probably just needs that right now.
Oh my goodness.
She's got a lot to reflect on.
They just do. Wait. And then here it is at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Lily and Rufus leave, but the adoptive mother shows up and looks at our wonderful adopted dad in the sweater.
To the cable knit sweater man, drinking tea.
I was just going to say, she have a tea? And she goes, is it over? So they basically lied to Lily and Rufus because they don't want them to keep looking for their son.
Because they've already lost one. So basically, the son that died was not the adopted son.
Was not the love child that we're looking for.
Yes, was not the love child. And they used like a newspaper article about their actual dead child to throw them off. And instead, they're I guess, worried that this couple with money and power is going to take away their son somehow.
And then here is this son that like probably has no idea all this is going on. Like has zero clue.
Just literally no idea.
No clue. He's living his best life.
And maybe that's the thing. Maybe the son, because I don't remember, so I'm excited to keep watching.
Me too.
Maybe the son like has no idea that he's even adopted, and that's why they want to keep it away.
That could be another thing.
Yeah. That would be problematic if you're like 25.
Here's the closing Gossip Girl quote.
All right. Should I do this?
Yeah, you do it.
All right. All right. Here we go. The problem with inheritance is that it's not always as simple as it sounds. Sometimes you get more than you bargained for, or you discover that in gaining one thing, you've lost something else. But every once in a while, the fates smile upon you and you get the one thing you really need. XOXO. Gossip Girl.
Love it.
I mean, come on.
Right?
The writers are so good.
They really were. Everyone keeps saying that too, because it's just, it's so, so good. And the what Kristen Bell did with it and her whole.
She's awesome.
So good. But what an episode, hey?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot went down, but every single episode, a lot went down. Yeah. It was just a good night of screaming at your TV every time these came out.
Okay, wait. So your show just wrapped last night. You feel incredible about that.
Yeah. It was an amazing journey.
So, I mean, that's what you've been doing for the last 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how many shows a week?
We were doing 8 shows a week. And that was, for the last 8 months, that's what we were doing. And then the 18 months before that, we were in the pandemic waiting for it to come back. And then for the 6 months before that, we were doing the show as well and rehearsals. So it's been my life for a really long time. And I'm very excited to move on and explore new things. And got some TV stuff in the works that I wish I could talk about, but they're just like, they're ridiculous, like deals that I have no idea will even follow through at this point. But it feels good right now to go off into the world right now and following this really momentous moment in my career and see what's next. I'm
excited. All going to be so amazing, and we all can't wait to see and watch. And I also just think it's super rad, like coming on and doing this, and that you're going to be part of the new one. Awesome.
Yes. I know it's in like a bio for something that my manager wrote, so I feel like it's safe to say.
Okay.
I'm making a cameo, kids. Yeah.
That's so rad. And you already shot it. You're done?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and I can't say anything about what happens, but I am there.
Amazing. Well, we'll tune into that for sure. And I just can't thank you enough for coming on. This was so awesome. And we'll have to get together. Me, you, and Jillian will have to get together.
Yes, I would love that trio.
Oh my goodness, Matt. How much fun was that? You are just a lovely, lovely person. I loved hearing about your Broadway career and, of course, chatting all things Gossip Girl. And I just can't wait to see what you do next. And we will all be lining up for it, trust me. For everyone listening, catch our next rewatch by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be here next week to dig into more drama, and you won't want to miss it. See you then. XOXO. XOXO is produced by Propagate Content and me, Jessica Zor. Our show is executive produced by Ling Lee. Our producers are Diego Tapia, Kristen Vermilia, Emily Carr, and Hannah Harris. Original music by Moxie and Loon, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.